listener-supported radio, KX93.5. Very excited to have on the phone Ted Leo and Amy Mann. You know them from the new project, The Both. Well, you know them from, I mean, both of you guys really have a catalog of music behind you. And it's nice to talk to you. First of all, where on earth are you calling from today?
Yeah, usually when we do these things, I'm in New York where I live, and Amy is out here in L.A. But since we're starting a California tour tomorrow, we're both here in L.A.
Right on. It's like five shows. I was looking on your website in consecutive days. I do want to talk about touring and kind of how you guys collaborate. But I guess for the uninitiated, how did this thing come about? And of course, when did you realize that you guys not only established a good rapport, but something cool was happening songwriting wise?
I think it really started kind of coming together when we began touring together, and I was supporting my record Charmer, and Ted was doing a bunch of solo shows, just him and an electric guitar.
Yeah.
So when I was watching Ted's show, I really started feeling, especially there was one song called The Gambler that was a new song of his, and I kept having this feeling of like, I really want to play bass on that song. And it made me feel like, what a great power trio this would make to, you know, be able to play bass in a band with a guitar player as interesting and as sort of virtuosic as Ted. And you know, I felt like the Gambler was a song that really gave me an example of what a band like that would sound like.
Right. I actually read somewhere that you said this is the first time, maybe in a long time, that you felt like you were truly in a rock and roll band.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
awesome. You know, I've been in bands before.
Sure.
But this especially, it's such a 50-50 venture. We, you know, really make an effort to have the songs be, you know, real co-writes, not just,
right,
you know, somebody brings in. I mean, besides The Gambler, which was pre-existing. But, you know, every song was definitely 50-50 co-write, and, you know, we really wanted to have it be a true collaboration.
Sure, because you guys have both been band leaders in the past, and I really wanted to know about that, whether or not it was a collaborative effort. I imagine that's kind of a stretch for some artists, because songwriting can be so personal. To be able to collaborate on something like that and share it with one another is pretty cool. But are you guys actually touring as a three-piece?
Yeah, we have a drummer, so it's just the three of us. I'm going to check on Ted. We're actually like in the same house on a landline, but I'm hearing a lot of static, and so I think maybe something's...
All right. Thanks for trying to figure it out.
It's like this old phone in the basement. So can you hold on 2 seconds?
Yeah, I'm here. No worries.
Okay.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Of course. Just as she got up to come check on me.
That is so great. Not indicative of the songwriting capabilities of you guys. Usually you're on the same page.
I gasped when she called me virtuosic, and nobody heard it. And I was going to add to what Amy was saying about The Gambler that, you know, the punchline about that is that I was actually working on that song specifically thinking of Amy, and I'd written the chorus and thought to myself, you know, I gotta pitch this to Amy eventually and see if she wants to sing or play bass on it or something at some point. So
wow.
she saved me the embarrassment of you know, getting shot down with that request by actually coming to me with it.
So. Yeah. That's amazing, man. What a good record. As soon as it came across my desk, being music director here, it's insane. I'm swimming in stacks of CDs, you know. But it was intriguing right off the bat, just because, you know, we know what you guys have done in the past with other projects as songwriters and solo artists and band leaders. I don't know if the phone dropped off, but we were talking to Amy about the collaborative effort that's going on with you guys right now. Is that a forced thing? Is it hard to do sometimes to share your personal songs with somebody?
Well, you know, I think that in a lot of ways this project, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I think it's probably somewhat true for Amy as well, that it's a real, like, the right thing at the right time kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, I've done some sort of co-writes for hire in the past, and you know, made some stabs at some, you know, deeper collaboration in the past, but it has been hard. It has been hard to share things in the way that you asked about, but not really with this. I think that, you know, when we decided to start writing together, you know, we were good enough friends and sort of committed enough to the idea that we were able to put some of the ego and the preciousness aside that, you know, that gets in the way sometimes.
Wow. Again, this is Ted Leo and Amy Mann on the phone, I think, still. Also,
I'm back.
There you go.
Yeah.
I heard you sneak in behind me, but I was already talking.
I think we really trust each other. And I think part of that trust is a constant, a conscious decision to, you know, just to make that jump and not sort of be, you know, not have to, like, you know, cling to your, you know, it's got to be my idea. It has to be generated only for me.
Right.
Sure.
And, you know, and in doing that, you know, we really saw how much fun it is to really, truly collaborate with somebody. And we have a buddy on stage that we can joke around with and share the duties with and do stuff on a day off, which of course we never get, but
it doesn't seem like
should
it.
We have a day off.
I want to talk about that again. Amy Mann, Ted Leo on the line on listener supported KX 93.5. The project is The Both, sweeping up and down the coastline here in California right now. How has touring changed throughout the years, as far as like preserving your bodies, you know, because singing every night and performing, it's got to be draining.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's be honest here, neither of us are 20 years old anymore. You know, it's not that you don't have the energy that you did back then, but you just don't recover as much from the, you know, from the, from the workout, as easily. And, you know, I had a brush with, completely, you know, actually like damaging my voice back in 2003, just from the kind of grind. And that was my first sort of like, whoa, you know, you have to not just be a person who jumps up on stage and, you know, screams his head off every night. Like, you have to, if you're in this for the long haul, you have to think a little more long haul and be a little more professional about how you treat yourself.
Sure. Yeah. I see it all the time. There's these little baby bands who come through, and of course they're just full of energy and they're just itching to play any venue that they could get in. And then down the road, I guess you learn that professionalism as you get older.
You burn out really fast, and I think you don't, you know, you have to, it helps to go on prior experience to understand how grueling it's going to be, and in the specifically weird ways that it is grueling.
Yeah.
Like, it's often not grueling in the ways that you expect. It's not, you know, for me, it's not necessarily grueling to sing every night or to play every night, but it's more like it's a mental thing. It's not physical necessarily. You know, there's like, how to get enough sleep, and, you know, where are you going to be sleeping on the bus? Maybe that means wearing earplugs. Maybe that means, you know, taping down every light so that you don't, you know, so they keep waking you up. But, you know, I mean, it's just dumb little things like that, but
in your case, you're not drinking some crazy herbal tea that helps your vocal cords every night?
Oh, well.
Well, Ted's drinking. He's on a new thing.
I got a lot of concoctions that I work with. I was recently turned on to something I'd never heard of before, which is hot cranberry juice actually being good for the vocal cords. And I was going through like giant bottles of cranberry juice every couple of nights on the last tour. And I got to say, I think it worked, but you do get a lot of, you know, when you buy multiple bottles of pure cranberry juice, you get a lot of, you know, raised eyebrows at the checkout counter, like, you know, what kind of weekend did you have?
Right, like, what's going on with you there?
Yeah.
This is The Both on the line on KX93.5. We launched the station in Laguna Beach about a year and a half ago, and it's a non-com, so, you know, we sell memberships, we have fundraising events, and it's a not-for-profit thing. So listener-supported is kind of our angle, and we're able to do cool things with artists, and it's been incredibly fulfilling in the past year and a half to be able to do something. I've been telling people there's only so much K-Rock or Clear Channel can do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so that's kind of where we're at. Speaking of, you know, touring again, you guys have probably a built-in audience from the other projects you guys have been affiliated with in the past, but I feel like there's probably some new fans now as well. Do you find that that's the case?
I definitely see, an audience for The Both that I feel like is not necessarily you know, just one or the other. And
One of the most gratifying things about the we did about a little less than a month in the eastern half of the country prior to this, and you know, I'm not prepared to say that like everyone who was there weren't from one or the both of our, you know, separate camps, but it was really, really gratifying to see how many people actually knew the new record, you know, and knew the songs from the new record.
Yeah,
that's really
great.
Exciting, you know.
Yeah. Maybe some people said it was an unlikely collaboration, but I don't know. I couldn't have seen this coming. Someone almost says like it was like a James Mercer from The Shins and DJ Danger Mouse thing, but not really. I feel like
I don't think it's quite that.
I knew you guys would be. I figured you guys would be totally down to earth, just from listening to the record and you know, knowing some of your projects from the past. And I feel like your audience is an adult audience. You know, appreciates alternative music and the arts and stuff like that. And people who just get it, you know, with Bob Dylan in their hearts and Fugazi on their brains type of thing.
There you go.
Right?
I like that. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Remember me in your liner notes next time.
Yeah. I might put that on my gravestone, actually.
Yeah. You guys are so super cool. A couple of questions before, I mean, you know, while I have you on the phone here, there was something that floated up on your Facebook page of you guys doing a medley of TV songs or TV show songs, themes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who asked you to do that? And what songs did you pick and why?
Vulture, which is the kind of like, I think it's more the like social media side of New York magazine,
uh-huh,
asked us to do a medley of TV theme songs. I don't know whose idea it was there or whether it was tied to anything specific, but yeah, it seemed like a strange but possibly, you know, fun request. But when we sat down and started thinking about which ones we would do, we pretty quickly came up with a list of things that were incredibly depressing. Our favorite ones were all...
Yeah, all the really good ones are depressing. Yeah. And it's also interesting to realize how many kind of, you know, conflicted and depressing or downright weird and scary TV themes there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll get you thinking a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you guys laid it down, you ripped into those songs, and it's a cool little thing on your Facebook page right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wound up being a pretty fun thing to do.
Yeah. My girlfriend also heard you on the Amy on the WTF Marc Maron podcast. Are you a fan of Marc Maron?
Oh yeah, I think that's a really great interview show. I really love how he just gets people to talk about, you know, all the sort of darker things that they wouldn't necessarily talk about in regular interviews.
Yeah, I've been a fan of that for a while, and my girlfriend listens to that religiously. You know, we actually saw him do stand-up in L.A. a few months ago, which was kind of interesting to see. One more question for Amy specifically, the Portlandia thing. You're in one of those episodes. It's hilarious. Do you know Fred Armisen? Do you know those people? And I'm sure you respect them as artists as well, right?
Oh, I've known Fred for a really long time. I've recently become friends with Carrie. I think Ted has known both of those guys for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like it's time for the both to go on Portlandia, so I'm going to start lobbying heavily for that.
I think that could definitely be a thing. That'd be so awesome. Before we kind of wrap it up again, the both is on the line. It's Amy Mann and Ted Leo on listener-supported KX93.5. Any advice you would give to a struggling artist who's, you know, working a crappy day job just to go out and play at night and who really wants music to be their full-time gig? Some advice
for
these
guys?
I mean,
off the top of my head, I would say, you know, be nice and make friends, because it's largely through, you know, it's through connections that you meet playing those gigs and stuff that you get different gigs and better gigs and a wider network of people to, you know, to work with. And you know, try not to see everything as a competition or a win or lose situation. You know, make the best art that you can make, and you know, there'll be an audience for it somewhere.
But awesome. I think if you care about what's good, care about good songs, and have some objectivity, those two things will help you discern when you're on the right track to writing something good yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think if you, people who care more about, you know, becoming famous or just, you know, getting attention, they're just not going to make really great art because it's not, you know, because the art part is not their priority.
Good advice there to everybody. Yeah, you got shows like American Idol, and it's just like a false thing that artists are looking at.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. Just a quick rundown of the list of shows. You're here this week playing, you know, the El Rey in L.A., the Belly Up in Solana Beach, which is a great venue, and the Glass House in Pomona. Those are the closest venues to us. Thank you so much for taking the time. We will be tweeting at you, and hopefully you will retweet us back.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, again, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Again, next time you sweep through SoCal, we got to take the or hopefully you guys could make the time to check out our studios right here on PCH. And
I'd love to.
And
yeah,
we can maybe do a thing for our listeners.
Yep, it's a deal.
Absolutely.
Cool. Sounds great. I will talk to you soon, my friends.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Now, this is the very latest from the Both off their brand new record, which is self-titled, available right now. The song is called Milwaukee on KX 93.5.